It is National Disability Awareness Month, and today we are making you aware of disabilities in media. And welcome to Pop and Circumstance, the podcast where we talk about pop culture things. Woo. Oh, first of all, I'm Eva.
And I'm Emily.
And we are, as people would call, neurotypical.
Yes.
People.
And able-bodied.
Able-bodied, yeah. Yes. So what you would, what the government would consider us.
Yes.
You know, that's our thing. So that's the framework we are going into this. We are not neurodiverse, and we are not, you know, you're not like physically disabled. Mm-hmm. And we're going to kind of talk about the term disabled in a bit after our news segment. But we're essentially just going to talk about, we're going to do a framework of what is a disability, what we are going to consider a disability, and then we're going to talk about how it's been presented in media. Mm-hmm. And then that'll be the episode.
Yeah.
So, Emily, before we get into the nitty-gritties, what's the news?
So Megan Fox cried during a magazine interview this past week.
Why'd they make her cry?
Well, because they were talking about, like, mom shaming. Because, like, it happens to a lot of females. Anybody mm-hmm. who's a mom, they're usually like, where are your kids? Because, like, obviously she's going out a lot.
Yeah.
With Machine Gun Kelly, because it's a new relationship and things like that. And they're mm-hmm. like, where are your children? And I'm like, listen here. It's none of your business.
But then also, like,
it's also like they're going out at night, so mm-hmm. you don't know if she has a nanny or like a babysitter or something. So, like, what do you do in your own relationships if you have children? If you want to have a date night, you usually leave your child with somebody, and you and your partner go out. Like, what?
And it's not like they're going out like every single day. Yeah. It's only like a few times that you see it on, you know, the tabloids, mm-hmm. which is probably like maybe a couple times a month. Maybe
and then also they recycle photos all the time, mm-hmm. or they like make that photo like the week of the, so like it gets used a lot, but mm-hmm. like leave them alone.
And who knows, maybe their kids are there with them, they just don't want you to see them.
So they're like, they keep on harassing her, like, where are your kids? And she's like, do you ask their dads that? Like, mm-hmm, what the mm-hmm. fuck? Like, leave me alone. Like, it's literally like, I take care of my kids. My kids do like me. Like, it's like that for anybody who is a parent, mm-hmm. Especially if you're divorced parents, mm-hmm. they will always like guilt shame one of you. Mm-hmm. Like, even in the other retrospect with men too, they'll be like, you don't take care of your kids or anything like that. And it's mm-hmm. just like, just leave them alone. This is not your life. Mm-hmm. Leave people alone.
Yeah.
A couple other things. Britney Spears's attorney resigned from the case, but it was after she said that she would like the opportunity to pick an attorney that she wanted. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if it's necessarily a good thing or a bad thing, because it could have been like he was like, okay, I want you to have the opportunity to get somebody that you actually want to represent you, mm-hmm. not just a court-appointed attorney.
Right.
So we'll see how this goes. But this is like an ongoing thing, and I feel like I just... She deserves all the freedom, mm-hmm. and she deserves to have her own life back. Mm-hmm. And I just, this whole situation just sucks.
Yeah.
Just sucks. And I, oh man, there's like nothing, there's nothing good coming out of this.
No.
But like that, this, there's not really much going on in the news. That's like the only other big story. So like this bleeds into, well, Robert Downey Sr. Yeah. just passed away today. Yeah. But back to the Britney thing. That, like, leads into the discussion of disabilities and mm-hmm. everything like that. With her, they would say that she was mentally incapable of taking care of herself, which is why they put her on this conservatorship.
But they don't mention anything specific.
Like, yeah, what they never, of, like...
Yeah.
Obviously, none of us were in the courtrooms.
Right. Yeah.
To see any of this stuff, so how are we to say? But at the same time, they were talking, people were like resurfacing like her when she shaved her head, mm-hmm. And they were talking about it, and she was just like, I just don't want no one touching me, mm-hmm. because like they're touching you and like making you do certain things. And if you look back on it, you're like, no, like I get that. Cause like,
yeah, it's a logical thing to do.
Yeah. Like if they're constantly controlling you and like pushing you in a certain way, you would remove the thing that they're using to control you, mm-hmm. your hair. Mm-hmm. Like it's like when you're in a very toxic relationship where a man or any person of authority won't let you do a certain thing. Mm-hmm. You typically, when you get out of it, you rebel in that way where you will chop your hair off or whatever. Mm-hmm. Women do that a lot. It's also like a signal of growth as mm-hmm. well when they like chop off their hair because mm-hmm. they're like, no, it's freedom. It's my yeah. freedom. So everybody saw it as a mental breakdown. But if you look back on it, you're like, no, she was very self-aware and was like, no, mm-hmm. I'm just so exhausted of you manipulating and controlling me that I'm taking,
this is something I can do for myself.
Yeah, it's like I'm taking control of my own body by removing
something that you love, yep. which is my hair.
Yeah.
And which, I don't care
enough. Which I would do too. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I would definitely shave my head. I did it once when I didn't shave my head, but my dad was the type who really liked long hair. Mm-hmm. And as a child, I did not like long hair, but I wanted to cut my hair short. Mm-hmm. So I cut my hair really, really short and I just had to hide it from my dad. Mm-hmm. But like he flipped out when he found out I cut my hair really, really short. Like that's just the thing. Men have this weird obsession with like long hair and I'm like, what the hell?
He looks feminine.
I'm like, fuck off. You know what?
Do what you want.
If you want to appear feminine, appear the way that you want to appear. But if you don't, you don't. You're like, it's whatever.
Yeah.
It's hair grows. But
yeah. And then I think what's interesting is that I find it a little bit suspicious that if she had like a specific like diagnosis of a specific yeah. sort of mental illness, why not put it out there? I mean, I'm on both sides. One side, we have no right
yes.
to hear what it is. That's her privacy. That's her business, whatever. But then at the same time, I think it would be, you know, partially like a really good thing to see, you know, a super successful pop star, celebrity, an icon, being successful. And she has a disability.
Yes.
And then that's good representation just of her existing and succeeding. And also, like, it would put more context into the situation. Like, I feel like they're not saying anything because maybe she doesn't have a cognitive disability.
Yeah.
And maybe she just has anxiety.
Yeah. I just believe she had a mental breakdown.
Yeah,
if anything... If it's true, mm-hmm. she just had a mental breakdown of the sense of like fame just was too much. Mm-hmm. Because to be fair, they were harassing the shit out of her, which anyone in that situation with the constant harassment she was getting around early 2000s mm-hmm. Into the late 2000s, anyone would have broken.
And also anyone, like, doesn't matter where you are on the mental spectrum,
yeah.
you can have a mental breakdown.
Yep.
With enough stress and enough whatever, yeah. you can break.
Any person, anybody mm-hmm. can have a mental breakdown. So I'm not saying that, like, she has to be anything.
In a war zone or something.
Yeah. Yeah. She doesn't, like, and PTSD, like, mm-hmm. for anything can be...
come from anything.
And any person, there's so many different situations that can give you PTSD. And not saying that she has it or anything. We don't know what she has.
Yeah,
so and we don't know if she even has anything. That's the thing. They could have literally just made this up to put her in this mm-hmm, situation, mm-hmm. which is also very damaging. Because I know a lot of conservatorships in general usually lie with people on the autism spectrum. Mm. Usually because they're like, they're not... autism spectrum as well as like people with Down syndrome mm-hmm. because they're like they're not capable of taking care of themselves
in some cases
yeah. I'm not saying every single person mm-hmm. I'm just saying some folk so that's why they have these things mm-hmm. but at the same time I'm like, look, I don't like the idea of conservatorships mm-hmm. I really don't. I think that, like, obviously in some situations where, like, the person is not capable of taking care of themselves, they usually have hopefully someone who is willing to help them out.
A caretaker
who will help them along the way. But like, that's just not right to like take away their autonomy. Mm-hmm. Even if they struggle with like certain things, they're still a person.
Yeah.
Like,
and we could also, and if we were a political podcast, we can go into all the bullshit that our government just like kind of fucks up with people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. Like if you grow up with a disability,
yes,
I don't like any of them, and so therefore the government gives you and your family, you know,
assistance
and stuff like that. And then, but once you get married,
yes, once you get married, you they
lose
remove
it all.
Yep,
you lose it all. That's so stupid.
Yeah, because my cousin's in that situation, mm-hmm. because she got married to somebody who has gotten assistance from the government, mm-hmm. because they are by the government, mm-hmm. disabled and needs the assistance. Mm-hmm. But now that they're married, they will no longer assist. So now it's a one income family because he's not able to have a job because of their disability.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, how is that?
It doesn't make any sense. There's like, no sense.
Cause I'm like, the reason why you gave them the assistance is because it's hard for them to maintain a job because of their disability. Not that they can't, but it's
really
difficult.
Hard. Yeah.
It's difficult because of X amount of factors or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, this just isn't fair.
Yeah.
And this isn't right. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Fuck everything.
It's just the way, you know, we're putting context into what we're going to get into mm-hmm. today, but like, a lot of people don't really know how to, you know, interact with people with disabilities.
Yes.
At my old job, I can say that now because I have a new job now. At my old job, I've noticed that, you know, we've had some people who I am assuming were on the spectrum.
Yes.
And just because of this, the way they acted and they didn't really have like a filter.
Yes.
You know, they didn't take any a certain social cues. And I felt so bad because like my managers just didn't had no patience for them.
Yes.
They were just like, oh, can she do anything right? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, be patient.
Yep.
I was like, you gotta be patient. She's doing the job. It just takes her a little bit to get there. Or, you know, yeah, this other guy, he, you know, was really focused on his job and she's like, I need you to do, and my manager's like, I need to do this. And he's like, yeah, but I'm doing this. And she's like, no, do it now. And it's kind of hard for these people to.
Especially when they're so used to a certain routine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
When you throw them something else, they get a little like distraught because they're like, no, I need to finish this task first before I amount to another task. Mm-hmm. Not saying everybody is like that, but
in these certain two contexts, that's what, and I think part of that is because in media, you know, some people are like, oh, like this is why representation matters.
Yep.
I really don't know how to interact with, you know, someone who has a cognitive,
disability.
No, disability or, you know, I don't
disorder.
Know.
Disorder. I don't want to call it a disability because, like, it's...
Because, like, they're not unable to do things. Okay, I guess we can talk about that.
Yeah.
Like, the term disability, I don't have... Again, I don't have the language.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. Again,
I have learned that it depends on the person because everybody does go about it differently. Some like I forgot how they phrase it, but they like person with disability and then disability, like the disability first, like like, because
not a disabled person but like a person with
the disability, like they will flip it.
Okay.
So it's like I'm the person first then this, or I'm the this first then that.
Oh, okay.
So it's like
so acknowledging that they're
humanity. I'm an autistic person, or I'm a person with autism.
Mm.
So it depends on the person. I think you have to ask them which they prefer to use, because it depends on the person. I don't particularly like just using it in a general spectrum, like general sense, because you never know. Somebody might be like, I'm not comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. Because there's a girl I follow on TikTok who is, she uses the term, hearing impaired instead of saying hard of hearing, because for in her experience, people take her more seriously when she says she is hearing impaired than when she says hard of hearing. Because when she says hard of hearing, they just think she can only hear you
like a little bit.
Or like her hearing is only a little bad. Mm-hmm. But when she says hearing impaired, they're like, oh, you're like, because of your hearing aids, that's the only way you can hear me.
Oh, okay.
Sort of deal. They take her much more seriously when she says that. But people are like, but the deaf community uses this. And it's like, that's why I'm like, just ask the person what they prefer mm-hmm. to use. If mm-hmm. you can, if you can ask them, like, what do you prefer to use? Then acknowledge them with that sense. Okay. I know sometimes you can use both when you're just talking about a general sense. Be like, oh, like when I talk about the autism spectrum, yeah. I just say the autism spectrum mm-hmm. because then I'm not talking about anything in specific.
Yeah.
And then
someone could be high functioning.
Yeah. And they don't even like that phrasing. They don't like the phrasing because then you're just saying that like
what is functioning?
Yeah. Cause okay. Because with anxiety, even mm-hmm. though anxiety and depression are not in the same realm as a disability, this mm-hmm. is very different. Mm-hmm. It's just a mental thing. Mm-hmm. Not that it's not valid, but yeah. it's just a different box.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
it's in the same room, but in a different
box. Yeah, it's different thing. But because like anxiety, there's high functioning, and then you can say you're a high functioning person with anxiety.
I see.
Because you might not think that I even have anxiety because of the way I present myself, and mm-hmm. I seem to be on top of everything. Mm-hmm. But I, trust me, I take medication for it, for yeah. crying out loud.
Yeah.
But in that sense, I guess people don't have issues with it. But when in the autism spectrum, some people have issues with it because you're making them sound like on this
scale, yeah. some people can't function in, you know, regular yeah. quote unquote society.
Yeah.
And others can.
Yeah. You know, okay. So that's where they're just like,
I don't like that.
Yeah. Okay. So that's why I'm just like, you know, it's yeah. just, it's yeah.
Yeah. So if, you know, for just me specifically, yeah, for me specifically, if I say anything, you know, incorrect, this episode, I am learning, and so yeah. please feel free to, you know, comment on any of our social medias, which we'll give at the end. You know, hey, you said this, yeah. try this instead, or whatever.
Yeah.
And again, I
know every person has their own preferences on mm-hmm. what they would like to be acknowledged as or addressed as. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can't please everybody, yeah. but I know these are things that I've seen some people have like issues on. Okay. So I'm just like, okay. So I try to refrain from using those terms, but I do know, cause I have, my cousin mm-hmm. she's on the autism spectrum. And back then they said like high functioning or low functioning.
They also used to say Asperger's, which yes. you should not say
anymore. Yeah. yeah. And she was, in that sense, she was deemed low functioning. Mm. She's how I just say it now. I'm just like, she's a nonverbal. She's nonverbal yeah. with autism. Because she does not speak. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so like there's like ways to like phrase it and stuff okay. like that. So it okay. just depends on like you as a person. Like John has two siblings with it. Mm-hmm. They're both pretty much nonverbal. One's cool. like completely nonverbal. The other one's a little bit more verbal than the other.
Okay.
But yeah, it just depends.
It depends on the person.
Yeah.
So I have a few good and bad examples of representation in mm-hmm. specifically anime and manga, because I wanted to like touch on it because I feel like that was like a big thing. And then I'm assuming you're going to go more on the movie mm-hmm. and television side. Can I go first?
Yeah, go.
Okay, so before we get into this, I did pull up an actual like scholarly article for this episode, and so it's called "Media Portrayal of Mental Illness and Its Treatments: What Effect Does It Have on People with Mental Illness?" It's by Heather Stewart. This was made in 2006, so it's a little outdated, but I think it still stands, just based on their, you know, their abstract. I'm not going to read the whole thing, obviously, but essentially what it says is that studies consistently show that both entertainment and news media provide overwhelmingly dramatic and distorted images of mental illness that emphasize dangerousness, criminality, and unpredictability. They also model negative reactions to the mentally ill, including fear, rejection, derision, and ridicule. And the consequences of negative media images for people who have a mental illness are profound and they impair self-esteem, self-seeking behaviors, medication adherence, and overall recovery. So that's kind of kind of explaining why representation matters and what it does to people with disabilities and also people who don't. And also I went on to the Center for Disability Rights website. There's this article made by Velissa Thompson. Based on her article, there's a quote that says, "Nothing about us without us." She's essentially saying there should not be any, you know, with any marginalized community, there should not be any media created about people with disabilities without people with disabilities.
Yeah.
So, you know, for example, an actor, you know, who is able-bodied, you know, and, you know, neurotypical,
they're playing somebody.
They're playing, exactly, someone who is disabled. She's like, no, that's not okay. And even if you do that, are there any people with disabilities with that specific one that you're putting on screen? Is there anyone on crew who has that? Is there anyone in the writing room, in the directing room? Is there, you know, an advisor, you know, who's helping out with that? And she's like, if not, then no. Then don't do that, because that's how you get your negative stereotypes. That's how it feels fake. And she gives a few examples, you know, because she mentioned specifically Ivar the Boneless from Vikings. She thought it was really cool to see. Ivar has the disability called osteogenesis imperfecta, and he is like a very vicious king. And so the author, she has the same disability. And so she thought it was cool to see, you know, like an actual person with her disability on screen. But at the same time, he was a villain and ruthless. And so she's just like, yeah. She's like, I mean, cool, but this is literally the only thing I've seen.
Yeah.
Not only is he a black man, you know, like I am a black woman, but yeah. So she's just like, eh, it's, you know, good and bad, but also, you know, do better. So for anime, I noticed that, a lot of anime and manga have physical disabilities more often than mental disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of chopped off limbs and, blindness is very popular, because when I looked up, you know, lists of anime characters with disabilities, there's a lot of people who are blind and a lot of people who have like prosthetics. And I thought that was really interesting. I think I'm gonna go with the physical disabilities first.
Okay.
Just because that's kind of like an easier thing to tackle. I mean, easy is, I'm using that very lightly. But because these are things of fantasy, a lot of these people who have missing limbs or whatever, or who are blind, their other senses are like heightened. And they turn into basically superheroes. So, for example, in one of my favorite manga, I have some over here. It's called Gangsta. And that one's actually a really cool book, and it has a lot of people with disabilities. So the main character, his name is Nick or Nicholas. He is deaf, and he speaks with JSL, so Japanese Sign Language. Well, they do a lot of actual like Japanese Sign Language in the manga and in the anime.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they don't have any deaf voice actors.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound bad. I feel like it's done with care. And also at the end of every book, the author offers up a little JSL lesson.
Okay.
She's like, here's how you say love, here's how you say blah, 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 and all the other kinds of stuff, which is cool. And also there are some other people with PTSD and all the other kinds of stuff. A really popular anime character with a disability is Edward Elric. He's missing an arm and a leg, but he has a prosthetic for both. And the thing, and then this is where I get into kind of the problem with all these anime characters having, you know, missing limbs and like, you know, and stuff like that. Or just they don't have a complete function of what you would consider a normal body.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the times they're used in a way, like specifically for Edward, like he's like, oh, I hate being like this. I want a normal body. I don't want this. My whole goal is to be normal. And that's a lot of other anime characters. Like their whole thing is like, woe is me. I'm so upset that I'm like this. When in reality, a lot of people who, you know, don't have your typical body, they're like, no, I mean, obviously it comes with some, you know, tragedies or whatever, but essentially they're like, no, I'm living like a normal human being, just not like you. I'm doing fine. I'm fine. I mean, I don't need any help, whatever. And that's really sad. Like a lot of people, like in Inuyasha, there's a character named Shoshomaru. He loses his arm like in the first, you know, few episodes. And he spends like a good chunk of the time afterwards, a few episodes afterwards, trying to find a new arm to replace it. But then throughout the story, he's just like, you know what? I don't really need an arm. I can just kind of be me and go about doing things with one arm. But then at the very end, and everyone was like, okay, cool. And then at the very end, all of a sudden, he gets an arm back and he's like, oh, thank God. And I'm like, no, like what happened to your character development? Like you were like, yeah, I'm still a powerful demon with one arm. And I think that's just kind of the sad thing. I haven't really seen a lot of positive, like physical disability representation in anime where, you know, they're proud to be the way they are. There is only one example of, here, let me pull it up real quick. There's this female character. Her name is Ayase, and she's from Guilty Crown, the show called Guilty Crown, and she's in a wheelchair. And then she hates when people are kind of pity her for being in a wheelchair. She's like, no, like being in a wheelchair makes me.
Yeah.
Like that's just who I am. And don't pity me. I'm still a badass bitch in this wheelchair. Fuck off. You know, which is really cool. And you don't see that often. But essentially, one of my favorite examples of just like deafness, because that's kind of, you know, cool to see, because you don't really see, even in American media, you don't see a lot of like deaf, like positive deafness and stuff. And there's this anime / manga called A Silent Voice. And it's about this girl who is deaf. And she gets viciously bullied in school. And then there's this boy who went to school with her. And so, you know, in order to fit in, he also bullied her. But then she got bullied so bad that she had to move schools. And then once she moved schools, everybody bullied him and blamed all the blame on him. They're like, oh, you're the reason why she left, blah, 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 blah. And so the story is about, you know, he grows up learning JSL and like feeling so guilty. And, you know, he's like, you know, I was... like, and taking all of the self-loathing, and he's like, I'm going to make it up to her. I'm going to pretty much spend the rest of my life trying to make it up to her. And it's a really, that story has a lot of, you know, trigger warning if you have triggers about, you know, self-harm and, you know, suicide and stuff like that, because it does go into that realm, but it's still really good. I think people should watch it. And then neurodiversity, I don't see pretty much any of it in anime and manga at all. Have you seen any in any comics at all?
Not that I know of. Not off the top of my head.
No. I mean, I'm reading a book, but it's a book. It's a novel. I feel like you could find some things more
often. I think you can find it more in novels, because I've definitely read books where the characters are neurodiverse in some manner. Yeah. But I don't think I've ever read a... Well, no. There are probably some comics that are, but I can't think of any off the top of my head that I'm like, ah, yes, this comic has somebody. Actually, I'll look it up.
And so I'm currently reading a book called Everything Here is Beautiful by Mira T. Lee. And it's about these sisters. One of them has schizophrenia. And it's essentially about, you know, just the world surrounding this sister, you know, in the point of view of herself and also her older sister, who feels the need to protect her and everything like that. And also just the people that surround this sister with schizophrenia, and like just how the world works. It's really interesting. And also it's in the point of view of Chinese American women. And so it's just it's an interesting book. I'm currently reading it. It's a lot. It's a lot. I mean, it's really good, but it's kind of stressful and frustrating because, you know, in the point of view of the sister, she's like, no, I know I have, you know, I know I have this disability and it impairs me sometimes. And, you know, I have to be careful, but like, you know, medication sucks. And sometimes therapists don't understand and no one understands. And I'm kind of here on my own. And it's a scary thing.
Here are three mutants who are neurodiverse. There's Dean Boswell. He's AKA Dummy.
That doesn't sound.
Yeah, that I don't really like the name of that, but no. Okay, sure. I can't, you know. Okay. He has autism. Oh. He's on the autism spectrum. And then there's Takashi Taki Matsui.
Matsui.
He's Whiz Kid. He has dyslexia. He's not only a young kid with dyslexia, but he has also suffered a car crash when he was younger, losing the movement of his legs, and he's depending on a wheelchair. Yes, I do know who he is. He's great. He's so cool. He's dyslexic and he's in a wheelchair. And then there's Jubilee. She has dyscalculia.
Dyscalculia?
Yes.
Sure.
What
is that? Do you know what, does it say what that is?
It does not tell me what that actually is. Oh, okay. But she has that.
I mean, I would expect, you know, I would expect neurodiversity in X-Men, because that's the whole point of the X-Men, mm-hmm. is to call, at least it should be the point.
That's what. Oh, yeah, 100%. That's definitely the point of the X-Men.
Yeah, that's like what it was created for.
Is to show representation in some manner of people with different
experiences.
Yeah, it was originally for, obviously, civil rights movement, but then, obviously, now you can use it for any sort of minority group.
Yeah. That's it for the... for the anime manga section, do better. I mean, I can't really say anything because that goes into the whole. I have no idea how Japan, you know, treats their people with disabilities. Yeah. I have no idea how their culture.
But at the same time, we can talk about American comics.
Right. Yeah.
They should also be doing better.
Right. Yeah.
With representation mm-hmm. with people with this. People with disabilities mm-hmm. of or anyone who is neurodiverse, showing it, mm-hmm. putting it in there. Like, there's nothing that doesn't deter from your comic in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that you can't go about the route that some movies do where we don't want to use we don't want to put them in this position mm-hmm. or whatever. You're putting them in a comic, and then if you work with somebody who is neurodiverse or anything, mm-hmm. you can create these incredible comics and stuff. Mm-hmm. Or if you are neurodiverse, you could be making these incredible mm-hmm. comics. They probably are.
Yeah, but no one's giving them money, probably. Yeah.
So, come on. There's incredible artists out here who, you know, you should support. There's probably tons who are actually out there doing stuff mm-hmm. if you just look up. There.
Sure. Twitter is a huge community, I'm sure. That's where I find a lot of my artists. So
yeah. So with film and with TV shows. Mm-hmm. So we've the articles and stuff that I've looked up and things, they're we have definitely grown mm-hmm. how we used to be. They were talking about movies that are oh, people praise these movies, but you look back and you're like, I don't know if that was okay. They used Rain Man as an example, and they're everybody really liked Rain Man when it came up, but then you look back on it now, because Rain Man shows an example of somebody on the spectrum, but they're it's a very small section of somebody on the spectrum and a very brief look on it, so they use it as a descriptor of somebody. They're like, oh, you're a Rain Man, which I'm like, that's not good either. Yeah. To be like, oh, somebody's like this. Mm. So people look back on movies that in the past may have seemed really great and everything. And a lot of people are like, you know, like you said, they don't really like the whole people are portraying these characters if they're not actually neurodiverse or if they have the disability or not. Mm-hmm. And then also the way they phrase it. So they talk, oh, a lot of the articles, because they're a little bit older too, talked about the movie Me Before You. Mm. That was a hot topic when that movie came out.
Okay. That was that movie.
Okay, look, when I watched the movie, I really liked the movie. Mm-hmm. But I know the complaints and I understand the complaints. Mm-hmm. Because I am a true believer in assisted suicide for different reasons, but I do understand when it talks about being disabled and that being the route that people take, and they're like, you're portraying this that like your disability is so bad that the only way you can go is by, trigger warning here, is by unaliving yourself.
Yeah.
But the thing is that like, if, but at the same time, there's that argument, like if that's what they want to do, who are you to stop them, sort of deal.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's a weird, complicated conundrum, because I'm just like, it's somebody's choice at the end of the day, just like actual unaliving yourself is somebody's choice at the end of the day. It's a tricky situation.
And that movie is a romantic movie, and there's a lot of
rose colored
stuff. You're kind of supposed to look at it like, oh my gosh, this is so great, and then like, oh my gosh, it's so tragic, like poor him. And I'm sure a lot of, you know, paraplegics are just like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I don't want to.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. So
I was just him. He wanted to. And I'm just like, okay. But he had always wanted to. And I think in that movie, I think the reason why she wrote it that way and didn't want to change his mindset was because she didn't want it to seem like just because he found love, he wanted to change it. Mm. Because then it feels like she's the only reason. Mm. So I don't know. That might have been the reason why she was like, I don't want to change his plans because I don't want it to make it seem like she's the only thing.
I see.
Because her thing too, because if you read the book, like her whole, the reason why she's so quirky and the reason why she dresses the way she does is because she's a victim of, trigger warning here, sexual assault. Mm-hmm. And then like he finds that out, which is why he gets her the socks and stuff and everything, which is why she freaks out about it and everything. So but there's this very like, they do help each other grow. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he still is very set on his decision, mm-hmm. because it is his decision, and she's not going to change that because it is his decision.
Yeah.
Sort of deal. So it's a very like,
it's a rocky.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to talk on, because I'm like, I don't think that's a good representation on like, because it does make it seem like anybody, why would you want to be alive?
Right.
If this is your life, mm-hmm. that's not a good, that, no, no, anybody who's paraplegic and is in a, that's not most see their lives like that.
Yeah.
They just live the way they live. They go by their days, how they do. Mm-hmm. They live their, you know, in this scenario, this is how it was. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, when we popularize certain things get. Because like you said, this is the only thing you've ever seen of this.
So, yeah.
Because you might not know somebody who's paraplegic in your life. So you're like, oh, yeah, I would, if I was like that, I would do the same thing. No. That's the only problem with this, because you're like, no. You can live your life.
Yeah, like, you can live a fulfilling,
great life. A fulfilling and great life being paraplegic.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Just like there's nothing wrong with anything. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, bitch. But I guess she didn't want to change that, because that's how it was said. But I, like, no, you know, I'm not the author. I'm not the one who made the story. Mm-hmm. Another one they talked about, too, was My Left Foot, because that was taken, like, really, like, everybody really liked the movie, because it showed, like, the a very interesting portrayal of a real life Irish poet who had to deal with a disability where they, like, he had a very like hard disability, and then it showed his issues with like his caretakers, his own self, and then his own like I don't know how to phrase that.
Like his sex life, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, how do I phrase this?
Yeah, it's like just his sex life.
Yeah.
And how it
they phrased it in a better way than I could like I don't know why I was trying to remember what they said, which is why I was like, what did they say? Yeah, no, this is his sex life and everything. So they're like, oh cool, like a weird like a nice not a weird, a nice representation on it. But then when you look back on it, you're like, No, I don't think that was a good representation. I'm just like, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Like, when they first come out, they're like, oh, they're perceived so well. But then you go back and you're like,
yeah.
I don't think that was good. Because the way he talks in the film and everything, they're like, it seems very he's mocking them. And everything like that. Because he's not somebody who has that Daniel Day-Lewis is not somebody who has that disability or anything like that. So they're just like,
And that's the whole, that's another one of those big arguments on specifically having people who are neurodivergent or just, you know, living that experience, you know, playing people who are, you know, paraplegic or whatever, or, and like specifically that whole thing with Sia.
Yes.
And her her muse. I could go into a lot of stuff about their relationship, but like, so if you don't know, Sia made, what was it, a movie? It was a movie, right? It was like a musical kind of thing where it was about a girl with autism.
Yes.
Essentially speaking. And she wants to be, she wanted to be a musician or a
dancer? She wanted to be a dancer.
A dancer. And so because Sia has her muse, that's a whole other topic about, you know, their problematic relationship and everything like that. But because she refuses to do anything without the dance mom, what's it called?
Maddie? Yeah, her name's Maddie.
Maddie played the lead character. And everyone was just like, no. Like, if you, because the whole point about the movie, this was why people got extra mad about it, is because the whole point about the movie is that saying that people with autism can do anything they want to do.
Yeah.
And then they go and hire a neurotypical person to play a person with autism. It was so hypocritical. It was just really, really hypocritical. And then instead of her kind of owning up to be like, oh yeah, oops, my bad, she was just like saying, but I love her and she does everything for me and I can't imagine anyone else doing it.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's not an excuse. Put her in another role.
Literally.
Like she can do anything else. Have a different muse. And also, like, apparently they also had, I think originally they actually had, like, a person with autism, like, on set. And as, I think they originally, like, wanted them, but then I think they essentially said they were too difficult
to work with. Yeah.
And I'm just like, get someone to help you.
Yep.
Don't, like, obviously, yes, people with autism can do, you know, anything that they want to. But, you know, people who need assistance, get them assistance to make things easier on you guys. Like, we, you know, people who don't know how to deal with, you know, people who have
neurodiversity. Yeah.
We don't know how to do it. That's why you get the professionals. Like my sister, who is literally, she went to college for it. She just graduated for that shit. Yeah. Like she does the therapy.
Yeah.
Like that's what you do. Mm-hmm. It's not an excuse. There are no more excuses.
Literally. And then at the same time, with that same film, there is, I do not recommend it. That's why we're not even saying the name of the movie. But, they have a scene in the film where they use a type of restraint against Maddie's character that they do use with people with autism and or they use with anybody with a neurodiversity. And it's very harmful because it's very aggressive. They pin them down. It's pretty much a very aggressive restraint. And not cool.
Yeah.
Don't. If somebody who is neurodiverse is having
a breakdown,
yes, if they are exhibiting aggressive behaviors, the best thing to do is to kind of give them their space, because mm-hmm. most of the time that's what they need is the space.
Mm-hmm. They need to, like, get it out of their system.
If they are harming themselves, that's when you can, like, step in, obviously. Mm-hmm. Be safe about it and, like, try to try to help them not harm themselves, but never restrain them in any sort of manner like that, because all you're going to do is upset them even more, mm-hmm. because they just need a calming. And what you can do too is remove them from whatever is upsetting mm-hmm. them in mm-hmm. the first place. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things you can do to help the situation, but restraining them and pinning them down to the ground is not one of those. So please, if you're ever in that situation, that is not what you do.
Yeah.
Please don't ever do that, and don't let somebody do that. If you can, just remove them from whatever is upsetting them and putting them in, or having them go to a different area.
Yeah.
Because that will help them out more.
Mm-hmm. When I was looking up articles, a lot of people mentioned Archie. Is that his name? Or Arnie from Glee?
Yes.
Arnie? Is it Arnie?
Yes.
The guy in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
Like, he's another one of those examples of just, like... people with a disability hating themselves for
they also could have gotten somebody who was in a wheelchair to be in that,
because he like never got out of his seat, I don't think,
ever in the whole show,
and then again, it's one of those things where, you know, What's Eating Gilbert Grape, we talked about this, that's a, you know, there's a lot of things going on in that movie, but objectively, if you just look at Leonardo DiCaprio's
performance,
it is very good.
Yeah.
Should they have hired an actual person? Probably, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, then 100%. You would actually get the same, you would probably get the same performance.
He observed people on the spectrum, and that's how he got the performance that he got. So you could have easily just went to the people that he observed and worked with.
Right.
To get somebody who was actually on the spectrum to do the work that he did.
Yeah.
To be honest, I will say it, that's a performance that makes me cry a lot. It is, in my opinion, a really, I don't.
It's a powerful
performance. Yes. I don't know if it's necessarily a positive representation.
Accurate.
Yeah. I was like, I do know that is how my nonverbal cousin does react. Mm-hmm. I do know I have had situations where she is very much like him, but I'm not saying everyone is like that. Right, That's the thing, though, is that none of the autism spectrum or anyone with a neurodiversity, it's a wide range. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Cognitive disorders are so, because everybody's brain is different. Yeah. So it's so, you can have so many different, like, wide ranges of levels and things, and that no two people are the same. Mm-hmm. So no two things are going to be the same. So you might see a performance and be like, oh, this is how no, they're not all like that. Yeah. And that's the thing, that you should never pigeonhole somebody into a thing and be like, all people on the spectrum are like this, like The Good Doctor.
Yeah.
I don't know if Freddie Highmore is on the spectrum. I can't say that he is. I can't say that he isn't. There's a good chance he could be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know his personal life, but if he, like, that's another one. Cause that shows about him being somebody on the spectrum and being a doctor. Yeah, because there are doctors who are on the spectrum. That's a very, 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 like,
feasible thing to do.
Yeah, like, that's a thing that, like, that you wouldn't even know. You wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
Most of the time, you wouldn't even realize it. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. That's the thing, too, that, like, TV shows and movies make it such a big thing that, like, this is everything about them.
Yeah.
But no, sometimes you don't even know. You don't even know they're dealing with this.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do, but sometimes you have no idea somebody is dealing with a cognitive disorder at all.
Mm-hmm.
At all. Like, they seem like anyone else. They seem like a neurotypical person, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with, like, representation. If you get somebody who is actually neurodiverse to play these characters, then you get authentic performances.
Mm-hmm.
Same with people who are physically disabled to actually play people who are physically disabled, because then they can give you accurate and true performances.
Right.
I know a lot of people also have issues with, like, Eddie Redmayne's performance of Stephen Hawking, because, yes, he does have to show the whole life of Stephen Hawking, so before he's in the chair and then after, but he does, some people are like, cool, so you're rewarding him for showing you that, like, he can contort his body to look like he's disabled.
And when I read
that phrasing, I was like, you're not wrong. Like, that's that's literally
Here, let me pull up my article, because I think there's actually a term. I think there's actually a term that she used. Let me pull it up real quick.
Yeah, and I was just, I was shook to my core when I read that. I was just like, you're not wrong. That's literally what everybody, like, applauded him on, was the fact that he could convincingly show you that he was Stephen Hawking.
Yeah. She this so this is back at the Center for Disability Rights by Velissa. Velissa said, when it comes to disability representation, so many factors get in the way of characters and storylines resonating with members of the community and capturing how diverse we are. An issue that cannot be dismissed is quote unquote crippling up.
Yeah.
Which is when a non-disabled actor plays a disabled character. And
Kate Winslet, I think it's in the movie Tropic Thunder, or like around the movie, like, oh, she was talking about it with the movie Tropic Thunder, was talking about, you get an award for playing a mental, which I'm like, yeah, they were handing out awards to anybody who was playing somebody with a disability because they were like, wow, that's so hard to do. But I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
And again, like they said, like it's I mean, obviously film is film. It's over dramatized. And then we go into the whole thing with like Joaquin Phoenix playing the Joker. And they actually, the problem with, a lot of, like, you know, a lot of times when they specifically mention neurodiverse conditions.
Yes.
Is, you know, like schizophrenia or.
Yeah.
I don't think this is.
It's not a.
What's it called? Dissociative identity disorder. And amongst other things, those two specifically, a lot of people use for villains, for dangerous people.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people don't like this podcast, but. I listen to it sometimes. The last podcast on the left, one of their hosts, he has, I don't forget what kind of schizophrenia, but he has schizophrenia. And he is a regular guy, like, you know, anyone is. And he just takes his meds. And he has to be, you know, on his meds. He has to be on it. And he has to go to therapy every once in a while. Like, that's normal. Like,
no, it's like,
people with schizophrenia are normal.
Like, Pete Davidson is, he has a dissociative
identity
disorder. So like that's, he has that. There's tons of people who have mental disorders live, like, and have normal lives. As long as they're taking care of themselves. And things like it's very common. But they're like, it's just not a good story if we just make it like but fuck you.
I think there was only like one movie that came out, but like I've only seen like a couple trailers and like barely any hype over it, where it was about this high school boy who starts developing signs of schizophrenia, and he notices it in school, and so it's kind of just about him, you know, coming to terms with, you know, his, you know, neurodiversity, and, you know, meeting a friend who...
Schizophrenia, by the way, is not a...
Oh, it's not?
It's not a neurodiversity.
Oh, is it just like...
It's just
like,
it's a mental illness.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because so neurodiversity is a cognitive disorder, and it's more towards social cues than...
Well, see, now I'm learning. So,
because, like, schizophrenia and, like, dissociative personality disorder disorder would follow along the lines of like depression and anxiety. It's a mental disorder rather than a cognitive disorder.
Because
these cognitive disorders are more like along the lines of like how you interact with other people.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
or right. or how you understand
how things. You, oh, okay.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, mental disorders are just kind of things, like, within yourself, mm-hmm. and you're just kind of, they, I mean, obviously they,
yeah.
you know.
They do, like,
affect you.
Affect other things, but, like, they're,
behavior, but.
They're not, I at least via the article that I read, they don't go along the lines of
what a disability would be.
The cognitive disorder. They do not align with those.
But yeah, still, the whole representation thing where they're just like, these are normal people. And because we don't see, you know, a lot of these pieces of representation, like positive representation, we don't know how to act when we actually encounter a real person who has that. You know, like if you, you know, encounter, you know, someone with autism, mm-hmm. you know, like you don't know how if they, you know, if they're, you know, on the spectrum where they, you know, don't communicate, you know, like you do. You're just like, oh, shoot, what do? I don't know what to do. And then because you don't know what to do, you get scared. And because you're like, I've only seen this thing and this one show this one time. Maybe that's how they all act, you know?
Yeah.
And it's frustrating.
I think the more we pressure them to be like continuing to represent people mm-hmm. in positive ways, then we'll get more. There was a movie, although we don't stand Shia LaBeouf, there was the movie Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. That had somebody mm-hmm. with Down syndrome as like the main character. Mm-hmm. B.
He is a great actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The kid or Shia LaBeouf?
The kid.
Okay. That's why I was like, the kid, right?
Yeah, the kid. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Peanut Butter Falcon myself. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I was like, wait, hold up. So even though it wasn't nominated for an Oscar, everybody was like, that's great because he's actually someone with Down syndrome. So mm-hmm. like he's in the forefront and he gets to show his experience and mm-hmm. everything. And like, that's what it should be. It should be just them showing their experiences and everything. And you don't, it also, you know how like, when we talked about it in our Pride episode, it doesn't have to be like a coming out story or anything mm-hmm. like that. It doesn't have to be like, this is why my life is so difficult or anything like that. It could just be a story with them involved in it. Like,
we don't want to see their suffering.
Yeah, like that's the thing. It doesn't need to be about their suffering. It just needs, they can just be in the movie, like A Quiet Place.
Yeah.
She is actually deaf. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I love that she's just in the movie. And although the movie does have to do with being quiet,
yeah,
it's part of it. It's just a part of, she's just a part of the family. She's just a part of the story.
But what's cool about it is that, like, also that's another example of, like, your disability is your strength.
Yes.
It's not that's why disability doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're not disabled. You're not unable to do these things.
Yeah.
You're just able to do things in different ways.
Yeah.
Which is why it would be so cool if we have more of these stories where these people who have these conditions, it's what makes them better. Mm-hmm. It's what, you know, makes them more interesting, unique, yeah. cool.
Yeah.
You aspire to be like them.
Yeah.
You know, kind of stuff like that. That's the goal.
Yeah. And obviously we are still two neurotypical able-bodied people.
Yeah.
So we are not the voice of the voice you should be listening to.
Yeah, so why are you listening to this episode now?
Yeah, like we are just raising the voices of others.
Yeah.
Obviously listen to those who are neurodiverse, mm-hmm. who are who do have a physical disability. Listen to them. Listen to their wants and needs. Mm-hmm. When they tell you this is what they would like,
mm-hmm.
listen to them, because this is their experience. No one can tell them differently, because this is their lives, mm-hmm. sort of deal. This is the one episode that we're like, hey, we're not this, but like,
yeah,
I fully like, they deserve as much representation as the next person.
And respect.
And a lot of the times we other them.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't deserve that. Mm-hmm. They don't deserve that in any shape, form, or anything.
Whatever.
Yeah. We give awards to actors for literally pretending to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not all right. Why don't we just give them their shot
for to them do to that? Actually, like, show them.
Yeah.
their true authentic lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, if we have said anything that was incorrect,
yes,
or, you know, just maybe, literally anything, because again, we're learning and we don't know the experience. We don't know the language that well, or we don't know, you know, we don't know. Yes. So you can reach me specifically at Eva_Bivamart on Twitter or on Instagram at Bivamart. Emily, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at the Emily Garon. And our collective Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Pop and Stance. Mm-hmm. And if you're a Facebook person, it's Pop and Circumstance. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, go out and kind of, you know, do your own research. Yes. Whatever kind of stories you guys are into, fantasy, otherwise, whatever. You know, see if there are any, you know, stories with people with, you know, neurodiversity or, you know, a physical condition or whatever. And expand your mind.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, and then we might not record for a little bit. I'm going on vacation, and there's a lot of things going on. But we'll be back.
Real soon.
I don't know what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm excited. All right.
Bye.